Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. And for this one, we're going right into it. It's Matt Cause versus Charlotte Mackowitz in who knows their French better. Bob, take it away.
All right, so I've got some words for her dictée, and you called, and we were just finishing them up. So she's writing these on the whiteboard. So basically, just buzz in first, whoever knows it, okay?
Okay.
Beep.
What is it?
Une voiture.
Une voiture. Very good, Charlotte. Okay, you ready? Raspberry.
Beep. It's une framboise.
Une framboise. Very good, Charlotte. You're doing great.
Damn it. Thank you.
Swing.
Beep. Une balance.
No idea.
Une balançoire. Matt, I'm not going to lie to you. There's only one question left. Unless it's worth 4 points, I don't like your chances.
Let's do it.
King.
Unroy.
What?
Unwash. You pronounced it wrong, but still, I'll give it 3.5 to 0. Matt, your French let you down. Charlotte, say bye. Matt and Dad got to do the pod.
Now. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir, Charlotte.
Oh, Matt, you said that beautifully.
Oh, Bob, I'm savant now.
I know, but you know what, though? That's not because of French. It's because of the Raptors.
Oh.
You know what point I stopped not only watching, but watching for the rest of the year?
Mm.
It wasn't Aaron Baines' missed dunk. It was the John Wall spin on Siakam.
Yep.
When I realized this was kind of like when LeBron was goofing around in the playoffs when he was with Cleveland, and he was just like goofing on us as they swept us. It's like now teams believe they can act with impunity against our defense.
Yep. To be fair, John Wall, he took 30 shots and made like 7 of them. But nonetheless, a double-digit loss to Houston is just so embarrassing.
This is true. Like, I'm goofing around a little bit, but I am serious about the John Wall thing. Because when I watched that, I thought to myself, these guys don't want to set any records with their losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before on the pod, how if you're at a poker table and you don't know who the sucker is, it's you. The Raptors were the sucker at the table last night. They were the ones that got circled on the calendar. Here's the team we can beat.
The Houston 100%.
Rockets looked at the Raptors and said, yeah, we can do that.
They looked at the Raptors as their salvation.
And after we lost to Cleveland, which in theory was going to be, you know, Colin Sexton lights it up and you go, okay. They're just, you know, you got guys coming back from COVID. It's a weird year, but surely they won't lay an egg against Cleveland and then Houston when they're trying to snap a losing streak. That's brutal.
Oh, yeah. Well, it really all came to an end, if you're going to go hipster, when Kyle Lowry hit a 3-pointer against Utah. They had a 5-point lead with 96 seconds left. And then Donovan Mitchell was the guy. And the Raptors couldn't hit anyone that hit a shot. And it ended there. All three games, bad rebounds, free throws, no depth on the bench. So just tick the boxes from Friday to Monday. It's over, Bob. And Bob,
mm-hmm.
For my opening thought today, I was going to run some lines by you. My opening thought, I'm doing I just finished writing my eulogy for the Toronto Raptors.
Nice. Do you remember we used to do Jazz Funeral?
Yep.
We'd play the St. James's Infirmary by Louis Armstrong.
Yep.
Jazz Funeral. So you're going to have the Jazz Funeral. Well, not, you won't play the Jazz, but you're having the funeral for the Raps today.
Yeah. Yeah. I intertwine famous, like, quotes you hear at obituaries and eulogies. And like, I like this line. Let me know what you think, Bob. Grief is the price we pay for love. And we have loved this team ever since 2013 with the departure of Rudy Gay, who went to the land of kings. No, he didn't die. He went to Sacramento. I guess it's kind of the same thing.
That's actually really funny. Quite sophisticated too. Yeah. I love this bit. So let's think about this. What are some other classic things you hear at funerals?
All right. I'll give you two more. Dr. Seuss famously wrote, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." Oh, wait, we can't mention Dr. Seuss? Never mind. Okay, Maya Angelou. We'll go with Maya. People will forget what you said. People forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. And the Raptors made us feel safe. Safe in knowing they would always play hard, play the game the right way, and on most nights would kick ass as they delighted and entertained a nation.
That's brilliant. In fact, I have only one note.
Yeah.
It's Seuss, not Zeus.
Thank you. No, no guarantees I'm going to get that right.
Okay. But otherwise, fantastic. Smile. Be glad that it happened. Wow. You've got a gift for this. Can you be like a rent-a-funeral guy? Like, say somebody wasn't very popular and you need someone to go say nice things about them. Like, could you, you know, what do they call it? The person who just isn't a priest, but they do marriages. Is that an efficient?
Yeah, an efficient, right?
Could you be like a death efficient where you just go to funerals and say nice things about people who weren't liked?
Nope. And here's why, Bob. Because I would just start crying. And here's how I know this. I found the perfect line to end my opening thought, and I told it to Amy, and I actually, my voice cracked, and I'll read it to you. In conclusion, allow me to quote the great philosopher, Winnie the Pooh, how lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard.
Wow, that makes me want to cry.
Me too. I read that, and I'm like, I'm getting a little bit choked up. So no, I couldn't do that job.
Wow. Two guys on the back, two white middle-class guys on the back nine doing emo stuff. What a rare thing on a podcast.
You're right. Oh, it's not a line, but I talked about the Raptors' life, and I said their high-flying teenage years with Vince that ended abruptly due to heart failure.
Show, Bob. Very nice.
Yeah, so that's my opening thought. It's an obituary. For the Raptors.
Music? I think you should give it music. You got to have a bed. These things
are
a bed.
Oh, I'm going full Catholic funeral. Like, just give me the heavy, you know, organ. I'm going full heavy organ.
You know, we've been listening a lot to Mozart's Requiem around the house because it's our house.
Yep.
And I think it's like early heavy metal. I highly recommend it if you're looking for a depth cut. This is a great bit, Matt. I have a different bit I wanted to bring to the Raptors. I wanted to approach this from a journalistic standpoint and do the 5 W's.
Yep.
Ask all the different relevant journalistic questions and get our takes on it.
Yep.
Starting with, you know, and it's obviously what, who, where, why, when, how. I want to start with what, though, because what we saw last night wasn't just a losing streak. It felt like a failure to compete, which was like the one thing you could always guarantee with this lovable group was that they punched above their weight. But what we saw last night was a team that just seemed incapable of mustering up the requisite energy. What happened?
I think it's a couple things. First, it is the Gasol Ibaka and just so many different players to try to come in and none of them could do it. And I think the frustration and just... smaller guys constantly being asked to guard bigger guys. I think it took its weight. There's the unknown of COVID. There's the maybe Lowry's just getting older. And maybe this group, after just competing at such a super high level for so long, maybe they're just tired.
There's a lot to unpack there. So let me try to take this bit by bit. And I think that they're just tired, as non-scientific as it is, I think might be the right answer. Where they didn't seem like themselves coming back from the bubble. Like, certainly that was true of Pascal. They still fought and managed to pull it together, but Pascal never seemed the same. And now whatever was afflicting Pascal seems to have afflicted everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true of Fred. I don't want to paint him with that brush, but Fred is an undersized guard. And he's jacking up a lot of shots and putting up a lot of points. But that's basically because the offense isn't even running anymore. So it's just up to guys to jack shots. They just look like, I think one thing I kind of like about this team was I've always admired their heroism, but now I kind of like them in defeat. And here's what I mean by that is they remind me of me and so many people I know right now who are just burnt. You know, you're just burnt. You're going through the motions on so many levels. You're behaving uncharacteristically because we've been cooped up. And we've been facing crisis after crisis after crisis. And eventually you just get tired. Like, you almost forget because these athletes are capable of such superhuman feats. They are not superhuman. And you've got a group of really intelligent guys, a group of really sensitive guys, you know, when it came to things like social justice, and we watched them stand up and we were proud and it made our hearts burst. But the flip side to that is the fear of burnout, you know, like you're an intelligent, sensitive person in a crazy world. And they just look like a team that's discombobulated. They haven't played a freaking home game in Toronto in how long? They haven't had a fan cheer for them in how long? You know, we can get into a million different roster things and we can roster bait until the cows come home. But in the end, I think this is just an arrow flies, it hits its apogee, and then it comes back to earth. And we're watching that arrow come back to earth now.
Oh, yeah. Like the human side, the emotional side is a big part of this. And none of this is defending the Raptors. It's explaining it. None of this is as an excuse. You know, if you want to do the anger thing, it's that Masai Ujiri this year failed in an attempt to maybe get Giannis in an attempt to stay as flexible as they can. That it's now it could maybe it works out down the road. Maybe it works out a year from now and all this flexibility matters. But for the 2021 season, the plans they put in place as of now have failed.
So let's move from what to who then. I wrote down who is to blame. And we talked the other day about how people aren't looking to Kyle Dubas going into this trade deadline the way perhaps we thought we would, and probably even years past. People are going to find it very hard to be critical of Masai Ujiri. I find it very hard to be critical of Ujiri. But I don't see how he gets off scot-free here. Gasol and Ibaka were ready to stay. Well, Gasol was probably gone, but certainly Ibaka was ready to stay, and not for that much. And he let him go. And considering the problems they have at the five right now and how Lowry doesn't really have anybody to play with out there right now, and you don't have a smart guy who can kind of goose the offense a little bit when it's stagnant. How many times have we seen Gasol do that over the years where the ball's not moving great and Serge bails them out for two or three straight possessions and then they get back on track? Like, they just haven't had that professional center. And more importantly, to your point, there was a gamble made for Giannis, or at least that's what we believe, and it failed. I think it was a smart gamble because if you actually do get him, you change your franchise forever. You know, he might be one of the only players in the NBA you go, I'd rather have him than Kawhi. You know, get an upgrade on Kawhi. But and here's the thing about criticizing front office executives. We never know what conversations they had that led them to make the decisions they made. Maybe he and Giannis's agent were way closer on this than we ever heard. I got to find it hard to believe a guy is not willing to gamble that much if he just thinks I'll buy a lottery ticket. But in the end, it doesn't matter because they don't have the roster they need to compete. And that's largely on him.
The volume of criticism that was on, say, a John Ferguson Jr., a Brian Burke, even a Kyle Dubas, it comes because there was no playoff success. Masai's had all the playoff success. That's why it's not that he's escaping criticism. It's just not going to 11 because he doesn't deserve to have it go to 11 because he deserves the benefit of the doubt and he's had lots of success. You know, so that all is true. And it's also true that whatever plans he had, however smart and clever they were, they haven't worked. It's why you blame Masai. I don't blame Aaron Baines. It's like being angry at the penguin for not flying to, you know, to chase down a hawk. A penguin can't do that. Aaron Baines can't do what the Raptors need him to do, but he was brought in for that role.
So what you're saying is we should get John Collins.
No, I think full sell. I go full sell. I go sell on Powell and Lowry.
All right. We're going to get back to this in a second because I want to keep going back to the who is to blame. It's hard to say Nick Nurse is to blame, but I will say that because defensive rebounding is a huge issue for us and we don't have anybody who's good at it. So, you know, that's a huge problem. But man, this over-reliance on the three is starting to drive me crazy. You know, one of the things that I found painful about watching the Raptors this year, they're not interesting to watch. Like, they just kind of move the ball around and someone jacks a three and it goes in or it doesn't. And then they run back down to the other end. It's been kind of...
Ding, ding, ding.
They've been kind of shitty to watch this year.
Last night, 10 of 40 from three. Do you know how many times this year, especially in the first part when they were 2-8, when Siakam was a shell, when every time you looked and you would just see 10 of 40, 11 of 38, 10 of 42. That's what we've seen.
I know in today's NBA, as we like to joke, it's all about 3-and-D. It's all about hitting those threes and then trying to get some rim protection on the other side. We don't have a rim protector, but with the exception of certain teams who are built incredibly well, you know, you still have to be able to run a half-court offense. Like, you can't just rely on, we'll hit the majority of our threes and win. When they go in, the team looks unbeatable, but that hasn't been the case lately. And frankly, they just feel like a one-note team on offense. You knew they were going to struggle on offense this year. You knew that. It was supposed to be the year where they defined themselves through defensive intensity. That hasn't really happened, except they're good at generating steals. So I can't say that they're not trying. They're just not big. They're just not big. They don't have enough size. It's the NBA. It's not magic. If you're short in the NBA, it's not as good as being tall in the NBA. You know, but
wise words. Yeah, thank you. Worst defensive team in March. Worst defensive team in March.
You know, Pat Riley has one of my favorite quotes. In basketball, it's better to be good and big than small and big.
Yep.
and that's just the fact. So anyway, I look at Nick Nurse and I realize that his roster is not exactly great, you know, but they're not exactly terrible either. This whole, you know, they're not really the team that started 2-8. They're not really the team that's 17-24 or whatever they are right now. You know, they're not really that team. Well, you know, your record is your record. You are that team. Could they have played better? Sure. They're living by the sort of vagaries of the three. And I hope this isn't the plan moving forward, where they just try to retool the roster to get more three-point shooting, because they need a lot more creative flow on offense.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, Siakam 0-for-4 in last second shots to either tie or win a game. And
saw that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, happened again against Utah, and just a dispirited group against Cleveland or Houston. It's weird. It's like sometimes I don't even recognize them, you know. And by the way, everyone who goes on Twitter and says, oh, you know, this is why we always had to appreciate them. I did. I always appreciated them. And from F Brooklyn to last year in the bubble, I always appreciated them. Doesn't mean it still doesn't hurt to see this now.
Which takes us to where?
Mm.
I think the underreported, underestimated story in all of this, because there's been so much weird upheaval in the NBA across the board, is how strange it is for a team to not play at home. Even if there is no crowd, the idea that they're in Tampa, I bet if you give these guys truth serum in a year or two, they'll tell you they hated this experience. And it must have been incredibly even I actually think they would have beaten Boston if they were playing that game at home and the NBA was just the normal NBA.
Yeah.
And they would have beaten Boston in game 7 because they would have had the Raptors crowd behind them. And they've always played Boston tough at home and always struggled on the road against them. In that neutral environment, they almost beat Boston. They were so incredibly close. And that was without the benefit of home court advantage. I think they would have won it. So I feel like in the last 12 to 18 months or however long COVID has been, because God knows it's hard to remember now, the fact that they haven't been able to get back over the border, like, they're on the run, man. They're on the run. They're yeah. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. They're on the run. Bring them on home.
Yeah, and they can't. And right now they're about to jump in the water. The thing is, athletes, we always know this, and this is any sport, are creatures of habit, crazy-ass creatures of habit. Well, now you've got a team where it's like, okay, all your routines, all your habits are done. Now you better go find somewhere to live. Oh, you got to find somewhere for them to go to school. Oh, you're worried about there's no masks there. There are masks. And just how about your family that or close friends still in Toronto? And they just, there's all these things that you have to, you now are thrown in, have to deal with at a moment's notice. I mean, you know, we're going to just keep you at a hotel until you find a place. Like it's a big ask.
And they haven't met it. And I'm not surprised they haven't met it. And I kind of don't blame them for that. You made a really good point. You got to blame Masai for the fact there's no real center and Serge wanted to stay. Would Serge have made them a great team? Nope. But they would have been a playoff team, and it doesn't look like they're going to be now, which brings us to my final of the journalistic questions. How? How do you go forward?
You find a way to trade Lowry and Powell. Mm-hmm. Maybe you bring them back. They're both unrestricted free agents. You know, send them free, send them on their journey to try to go deep in the playoffs, get back some, at least one young piece that can become a starter, a draft pick or two. Hope you can hit on that. But you know that seems to be the most logical move.
Okay, we'll go to trades in a second because I've jotted down a few notes. But you mentioned it before, and I want to see if you were serious about it or if it was just emotions. Do they go for the tank?
Well, here's the thing, Bob. They don't need to go for it. They're there. If you trade Powell and Lowry, now you're getting more into the tank. You know, it's not like they've got that young player that they're waiting to unleash. You know, uh-oh, look out, here comes Mongo. They don't have that. So if you trade Lowry and Powell, you know, you might be getting back one, you know, one serviceable piece, but you're losing two. And you're probably getting some draft picks that aren't going to help you this year. So I think it's if you trade Norm and Lowry, then you're going to keep losing. And by the way, I'm still going to root for them to win because there's like four or five, six teams that have got a worse record. But that will impact your chances of getting a better draft pick.
So they're 23rd in the league right now in terms of record. And
yeah.
These numbers, I didn't do these. These are courtesy of Blake Murphy from The Athletic. So they have a 7% chance of getting the overall pick, number one. They've got a 30% chance of landing in the top four. And the worst they can do now is seventh. And it's one of those drafts that doesn't necessarily have a superstar, but they have a bunch of good players. And you could even just see like how taking a guy like a DeAndre Hunter, you know, that's great for Atlanta. Is he going to win you a title? Nope, but he's going to help you win a title. You know, so we could wind up with one of those guys. That said, the 7% chance of getting Cade Cunningham turns into maybe a little bit better if they suck a bit more. Are you at the point, you said you're going to cheer for the Raptors. At what point do you flip the switch and say, I'm all in for draft position, I'm rooting against them? You're a Giants fan. You must have done this at some point in time.
Oh, God, yeah. I would say the final eight games because I still believe in, like, okay, here's why I'm rooting for them to win. I'm rooting for them to win because I'd like to see a five-game stretch where Pascal Siakam says, fuck it. Give me the ball. I'm going to win us some games. And he averages 35, 12, and 7. And he goes on like a run where they go 4-1 against good teams. I'm rooting for that because that's something that can translate to hopefully next year, the year after, the year after. So that's why I'm still not rooting for full losses. The final five or six games, come back to me.
The fact that there's a play-in game now, the fact that you've got the 7-10 teams fighting to play in, that makes this interesting because I'm not sure the Raptors are bad enough to just miss the playoffs no matter what. I think even accidentally they'll wind up in that play-in game and they can win it. And I don't think they're this bad. I think they could compete in a first round. And then all of a sudden we wind up in that weird mushy middle where you're not sure whether to root for the future or hang on to the past. I almost feel
I'm on the future.
Okay, me too. And that means I'm rooting for them to lose at this point. I don't want them to make the playoff. I don't want them. I want them to have a top four pick. I want them to walk away with a player, you know, one of the Jalen's, Cade Cunningham, you know, whoever it is, and start rebuilding. I want to throw out a how question to you that's not a trade specific thing, but how do we view Pascal right now in terms of the future?
Conflicted. Yeah. Just, I think if there's no athlete in the city of Toronto I am more conflicted on than Pascal Siakam. And I think it's because I really want it to happen. I really, really want it to happen because this Raptors team needs it to happen. But the problem is we haven't seen it happen enough. And usually for those guys, we know who they are. We know early, we know often. And there's usually little doubt. There is doubt with Siakam.
He's also very likable, or has been in the past. With Nylander, yes, who's one of these conflicting type athletes, he's not that likable. I don't think he's a bad guy, but you don't go, oh, I'm just rooting for that William Nylander. You're rooting for his production.
Yeah.
He's kind of got a smug Prince Joffrey face. It's not the guy's fault. It's just how he carries himself. But Siakam has the great story. Siakam has been, you know, just such a spark plug, and we've watched him grow from a late first round pick to, you know, just the whole journey. So there's emotions tied into Siakam too. Like, I want to see him succeed, because he's the kind of guy who deserves to succeed. It's not like a William Nylander who was a top 10 pick and his father was in the NHL and he's a legacy kid and he was bred for this from the time he was 3 years old. I'm sure they were preparing him for this. Pascal is the opposite. I want him to work. Here's my hope for him. I hope you mentioned Donovan Mitchell before. I hope he's Donovan Mitchell. Here's what I mean by that. When Mitchell hit the league, I'm pretty sure he was Rookie of the Year, but he certainly had a very good rookie campaign. And people were wondering, ooh, who's this new talent? Then, you know, I'm not going to say he dropped off, but the idea that you could one day build a team around Donovan Mitchell, it kind of went away. And now, along with Rudy Gobert, the Jazz are one of the best teams in the West again. And you go, oh, that guy's really good. I don't think he's LeBron, but damn, he's really good. If Siakam could somehow save himself to become our Donovan Mitchell, I would be so happy.
Agreed. Yep. Nope. Great analogy. 100%.
He doesn't have to be better than that at this point, because that's unrealistic. People just got, you know, he doesn't have to be the next Jason Tatum. There was the who's better, Tatum, Siakam, or Ben Simmons conversation. And I put Siakam 3 out of 3 on those, and people ripped me on Twitter. I stand by it. He doesn't need to be those guys. Oh, first one.
There it is.
You know, he doesn't need to be one of those guys to be a success. The contract might wind up being a little bit big, but it's the NBA. For years, Norm's was a little bit big. You know, with some creativity, you can get around that, but he has to be really good. So just be our Donovan Mitchell.
Yep. And here's hoping. You know what's part of it is, I think, why we get clouded a little bit with Siakam, as you said, we can move on, is that we're just rooting for him. He gives good quote. He gives good athlete. Like, you know, like the athlete that the fans can rally around. You know, you can argue that Nylander is sport than Siakam is in his. But Siakam is just easier to root for.
Every team that wins becomes likable no matter who they are. But the Raptors actually are likable in the sense that they're a bunch of underdogs. You know, Fred goes undrafted and winds up signing a massive contract. Kyle is a first-round pick that's always underperforming and somehow becomes a Hall of Famer. Pascal is a guy who easily could have slipped through the cracks of the NBA, but he became a frontline player. There's just, you know, Chris Boucher out of nowhere, like, you know, living in a car as a kid, winds up signing a big contract. Like, there are so many good stories. You know, Serge, when he was here, was lovable. Gasol was intelligent and fun. They're a likable team, and the losing has made them less likable.
Yep. But and also to add to that, Nick Nurse. Here's a guy that, you know, look at his journey to becoming a coach. Masai Ujiri, Giants of Africa, everything is likable. It's also why we don't have as much rage or anger against this team. Like, I think we're more just disappointed. It's like the worst thing when your 17-year-old girlfriend says, I'm not angry at you, Toronto Raptors. I'm just disappointed.
Did you just say your 17-year-old girlfriend?
When you're also of the corresponding age.
That's such a key thing to throw in.
That is true, Bob. That is a good point by you. Thank you for that correction.
You know,
speaking,
go ahead. Speaking of legal.
See, you beat me to it. If you need a lawyer, our sponsor is Jeff Pollock. He is our lawyer. He runs a small, independent, family-run law firm. And for everything that you need, trusts, states, corporate, commercial, real estate, whatever, one-stop shop. And if you need a lawyer, fully, highly recommend jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088. Bob, I feel we're at the point where we move over to the goaltend. Oh, you've got full ring. You've got full ring.
That's actually the school calling because Charlotte's not there. And Sandra's on a conference call, so it's going to come up again. Just to let you know.
Do you want to talk about what's going on in your home? I can talk about what's going on in mine before we get to the goalie.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me decline that.
All right. Go decline that.
No, nothing's going on. There was a kid in Charlotte school that had came down with COVID. Yep. So we're just holding her back until we make sure that there are no other kids and it didn't spread.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so nothing terrible, but certainly noteworthy. Hey, why don't we do some would you rathers and then call it a day? Because this phone is going to ring a lot. And we're going to try to do two
done and done.
Again, so we're going to do Friday anyway, okay?
Yeah. Go.
Talk about Jack Campbell, because he's not going to be the number one, so let's just move on. Would you rather have a three-year stock in the Hornets or the Grizzlies?
I'm going to go with the Hornets. Gordon Hayward's been great ball before he got injured. Give me the Hornets. Ja Morant's incredible, but that style, that size might end him earlier than not.
I would have said the Hornets all day. I would have said the Grizzlies all day, but LaMelo Ball is really good. Okay, here is a Jays one with the season coming up next week. Would you rather have a replacement for Kirby Yates or a Peloton for Vladdy?
I'm going to go with Kirby Yates. With Nate Pearson hurt and Tanner Roark getting bombed on Saturday, any and all pitching is a good thing. And according to the thirst traps, that's what the kids say on Instagram, Vlad is looking pretty good.
All right. This is to make the final in the NBA, to make the final, like a Vic Router, make the final. Would you rather have to bet your entire wine collection on the Jazz or the Bucks?
Oh, I am going to put it on. I'm going to put it on the Bucks. I'm going to put it on Milwaukee. They're having a really good year. Giannis is great. Drew Holiday's come back. I don't trust Utah. It's totally not fair. They've been incredible, and I think it's still easier to get out of the East than the West.
All right, final one. Would you rather watch one Leafs game at the ACC sitting on the glass or have all your streaming services free for a year?
Ooh, I'm going to take the glass with the Leafs because, I mean, I don't even know where we get our streaming services from. I don't even know how many we're paying for now anyway. It's so confusing.
What if I said all the streaming services, not all yours, but all the possible ones?
No, I'm still taking the Leafs because if I have all the streaming services, it might seduce me to stay inside more.
Well, that was really what was it about. It was about is a question of, do you want the one spectacular experience or do you want a year's worth of pretty good experiences?
I've had the slow drip of shows.
You know what? I love it. You've always been a swing for the fences kind of guy. Let's try to do this again on Friday.
Absolutely, Bob. And in lieu of flowers, we suggest giving money to the Lowry Love Foundation. There will be refreshments and a light meal served at the OVO Center.
I might actually listen today. It sounds like it's going to be a good bit.
I might actually listen. How dare you? Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.